Welcome to God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in Morning Sun, Iowa. Check us out online at www.sharonrpc.org. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and that the Lord will use it to transform your faith and your life.
Well, this morning we are at Isaiah chapter 9. Will you turn over in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9, the first of the major prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 7. The sermon will be specifically on verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, you can find that on page 611 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9. This is God's word. Pay careful attention now. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Brothers and sisters, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. 3,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, God promised King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that he would have a son, and his son would sit upon his throne, and his throne would be one of righteousness and of justice, and of the end of his throne there would be no end. His rule would be eternal. Fast forward a few hundred years to 700 BC, and we find these words in Isaiah, the rule of the Davidic line has come to shambles. King Ahaz is the king during this time, and he's a wicked king. He's turned away from Yahweh. He's put people out of religion. And it's in this time of darkness where there's battle, where there's depravity, where there's no hope. Here, a light shines in the darkness. Here, one of the many promises of the Messiah comes. And who is this one that will be given but Jesus Christ himself? And so, brothers and sisters, your call this morning is really simple. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Your call this morning is not to do things, but to be in awe of someone. Not to move with your feet, but to have your heart set on Jesus Christ. And so as we look at Jesus Christ this morning, we'll see who He is as the eternal King. We'll see what His titles are, as He is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So first, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is your promised King. Jesus Christ, first of all, is your promised King. Look with me at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And the government will be upon His shoulder. For thousands of years, the people of Israel had been longing for the promised one of God, the one who would be greater than Moses, the one who would come and be God in the flesh there with them, leading His people. He promises in the way of a prophet in Deuteronomy 18:18, when He said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth and speak, and he shall speak to them all which I have commanded him. God had commanded them a perfect prophet who would speak only His words. The people longed to see this King and this promise that God had given in 2 Samuel chapter 7. When He tells King David, God says to David, when your days are full and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God had promised a prophet. God had promised a king to sit upon David's throne forever. God had promised in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And if you open up your Bible to Psalm 2, you would see that God has given the nations to this son. Not just Israel, but all the nations, all the kings would come to this one. Jesus Christ would bow. Ezekiel 34 also says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. There was a promised king. The hope of Israel was in this promised king. And after thousands and thousands of years, the book of Matthew opens with a genealogy that ties Jesus Christ to David himself as the true king who would sit upon the throne of Israel in perfect righteousness. God had not forgotten his promises. He would give to Judah a son of David who would sit upon his throne forever. And he has done so in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born with all the royal rights. Your king was born for destiny. Your king was born not to stay in that little manger, but your promised king was born that he might ascend up into heaven and sit down upon the throne and rule with righteousness forever. God had established his throne. God had promised his throne. God had given him his crown rights, and his name is Jesus Christ. Upon his shoulders would be the government, and it would have no end. His birth was foretold, and his kingdom is secure. Brothers and sisters, you have a promised king, Jesus Christ, but what is he like? What is he like? Well, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, doesn't it? Look with me again at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In 1953, there is a 27-year-old woman who received a new name. This 27-year-old woman did not get married, but she was coronated the Queen of England. Her name had been Elizabeth Alexandra Mary Windsor. Talk about a name. But she got even a grander name once the crown was placed upon her head and the staff put in her hand. Listen to what the full title of what Queen Elizabeth's name is now. Now her name became Elizabeth II by the grace of God of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. That is Queen Victoria's title. That is her proper name. So if she was to write out everything that was placed upon her in her coronation when they put the crown upon her head, that is what she's about. What is Jesus about? Wonder. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Your King is wonderful. Your King is wonderful. Jesus is the King who we marvel at. When the Magi came to Jesus Christ, they came into the city and they walked into the palace of Herod and they said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" And in the palace and all the grandeur of Jerusalem, it wasn't anything to them. But after they had found out what the prophecy said, that the king, the son of David, would be born in Bethlehem, they go out and behold, they see the star in the east and they travel to a little hamlet of a town, to Bethlehem. And there in this small rural type city, they come and they see a child and they marvel at him. They get down upon their knees and they bow to him. They offer him gifts because he is wonderful. When Jesus is in that boat upon the Sea of Galilee, and as the sea is being tumultuous and the waves are high and there are white caps upon the tops of the waves and the wind is blowing and his disciples are worried that they're all going to die, they go to Jesus who's sleeping in the bow of the ship. And they say to him, "Save us, for we are about to die." And what does Jesus do? He gets up. And he tells the wind and the waves, "Be still." And there was a great calm. And what do the disciples do? They marvel at Jesus. What type of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Jesus is full of wonder. And Jesus, upon that Mount of Transfiguration, when he was there with his disciples, when John and James and Andrew were there and they saw Jesus transfigured before their eyes as he was displayed in his glory with his clothes so white that no one could ever bleach them that white, and in his brilliance and radiance, what did the disciples do but to wonder at him, to marvel at his majesty? How do you think of Jesus? Have you lost your sense of amazement? Has Jesus become ordinary to you? Brothers and sisters, let your hearts be sparked aflame in amazement for wonder of who Jesus Christ is. Remember that Roman centurion who had been mocking and beating Jesus. When he has seen Jesus Christ died upon that cross, what did he say? But with wonder and amazement, surely this man was the Son of God. When you come to the table today, are you going to come with a hardened heart, or will you come with wonder and awe and amazement as you stare upon your marvelous God, Jesus Christ, your King? Marvel. Marvel, that would be a wonderful Bible study for someone someday. Just go through the gospel sometime. If you have a concordance at your house, just pick up that, maybe it'd be a good afternoon exercise, and look up the word marvel and the word wonder, which are the same word in the Greek, thaumazo. And just look and see how many times that is the reaction that people have to Jesus. And indeed, brothers and sisters, He is wonderful. The one who was before eternity, Jesus Christ. The one who is in His being there before the world was formed, deserves your wonder. The one who was there when He molded man together in His image is wonderful. The one who caused the mountain peaks to come up with their snow caps is wonderful and mighty. Do you still wonder at Jesus Christ? Are your eyes filled with His glory? Or is Christmas just a cute story to you? Indeed, it is wonderful in our eyes that the God of heaven would take upon flesh. But He's not just wonderful, but He is also your counselor. It is Jesus Christ, our promised King, who is wonderful and who is counselor. It is Jesus who is the perfect teacher. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us that Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. It was Jesus when He was a young boy and He was there at the temple who was making people stand in awe, all the teachers. How does this young boy have this type of wisdom? And as He preached to the people, they stood in amazement that how could this man have such wisdom? Isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Don't we know His brothers and sisters? How does He have this knowledge? Or we could go to the book of John where, again, the scribes say, how does this man know these letters since he never went to school? It is Jesus who is the counselor. It is Jesus at the temple who shows us His wisdom. It's Jesus who teaches with authority. It's Jesus who, though He was never schooled by their rabbis, could school them up and down every time He opened His mouth. It was Jesus who gives a way to kings. It is Jesus who is the counselor full of perfect knowledge and wisdom. It is Jesus who advises kings and tells principalities and princes the ways in which they ought to walk. It is Jesus who is our counselor. When Jesus tells us the ways in which we ought to walk and the ways we ought to live, He tells us it because He is the wisdom of God incarnate. Jesus is your promised King. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is the counselor. But Jesus is more than just that. He is also mighty God. Mighty God. Again, look with me at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. One of my favorite titles for God in the Old Testament is Adonai Sabaoth, Lord of Hosts, God the Commander of Armies. The one who tells the angel to go and slay the Assyrians, and one angel will destroy 185,000 enemies. That is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the one who holds all power in His righteous right hand. The one who split the Red Sea and led His people upon dry ground. It is Jesus Christ who is God Almighty. It is Jesus Christ who is not to be trifled with or mocked. It is Jesus Christ who did not again stay as a child in that manger. Our God is not some Jesus who's meant to be blasphemed and ridiculed by Talladega Nights as a baby Jesus with no power, but He is mighty God who sits above the heavenly hosts, who judges the angels and is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the one to whom every knee must confess and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God Almighty in the flesh. He is the fullness of the deity of God. Jesus Christ is our champion. Jesus Christ is our victor. Jesus Christ won over sin. Jesus Christ is our mighty God who championed over Satan. Jesus Christ, our mighty God, is the one who conquered the curse of sin and the grave. Is He wonderful in your eyes? Jesus Christ is the one we marvel at. Stand in awe, brothers and sisters, of your mighty God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your promised King. Jesus Christ is wonderful. Jesus Christ is a comforter. Jesus Christ is a counselor and mighty God. But He is also, the text tells us here, everlasting Father. Jesus is the head of our family. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the head of Israel. Jesus is the head, indeed, of the entire universe. Jesus is the husband of His church. Jesus is the everlasting one, the eternal one. Before there was a sun, Jesus was. Before there was an ocean, Jesus was. Before there was air for man to breathe, Jesus was. Before Isaiah wrote this prophecy, Jesus was. Before David ever got out of the field being a shepherd and upon his throne, Jesus was. Before Abraham was, Jesus was. Because He is the everlasting one. By Him and through Him, all things were created, and by His power, all things seen and unseen are held together by His word. It is Jesus Christ who is the head. It is Jesus Christ who is everlasting. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is counselor. Jesus is mighty God. Jesus is everlasting Father, but also Jesus, lastly, is the Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, God has gained the victory. God has brought peace upon the earth and goodwill towards men in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who has gained the victory of peace for you. No longer are you at enmity with God, but Jesus has assured peace between you and the Father. Jesus has brought an end to the war that started in Eden against the sons and daughters of men. It is Jesus Christ who gives your conscience peace. It is Jesus Christ who gives your soul rest. It is Jesus Christ who is our Prince of Peace. In Jesus there is perfect happiness. In Jesus we find wholeness. In Jesus we find hope and peace for today. It is Jesus Christ who gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Brothers and sisters, if we want peace in our world, it comes through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I long for that day when there are no more wars, when there's actually peace. It was Isaiah himself who wrote in chapter 2, verse 4, that He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall lift up sword against nation. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We long for that day. The world longs for that day so much that it's literally inscribed upon the walls of the United Nations, that verse. But while we might try to use the United Nations to end wars, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. See, we know that there's a vertical reality that we aren't at war with God anymore, that for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, find our identity in Jesus Christ, have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is no longer war between us and God, but yet we see bloodshed and terror throughout the world. We see nation rising up against nation. We see people going into battle. And do you not long for that great day when Jesus might come written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he might put to death war and sin forever? And there might finally be peace. It's Jesus, when he returns, will bring that peace at the end of that last great battle. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is our peace. It is Jesus who is the King, the true descendant of David. It is Jesus who is your wonderful King. It is Jesus who is your great Counselor. It is Jesus who is eternal and mighty God. It is the anointed of David who has come as everlasting Father. Your King, Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace promised long ago. It is Jesus Christ who we bow down to with the Magi. It is Jesus Christ who we marvel at with the shepherds in the fields. As Mary treasured the things that she had seen and heard about her son in her heart, as she marveled at her own son, so also should we this morning marvel at Jesus Christ. As we look to him for the one who has redeemed us, a King not aloof from you, a King who knows you, a King who loves you, not a tyrant, but a perfect sacrifice. It is Jesus who is this great King. This is the reason we come to the table and remember him. This is the reason this week everybody will get a day off of work. I pray that when you come together with your family, you might remember that it is Jesus Christ, promised long ago, who is our King today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for our King. Lord, we pray that you would soften our hearts. Lord, please don't let us have hard hearts that are calloused against these things. But fill our eyes with wonder and amazement. Holy Spirit, please let us taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, please care for us. Let us marvel at our King, for he is marvelous in our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.